Good morning. Once again, please hear from Gary and myself that we are so grateful to you and as a church body to be walk alongsiders with us in the work and the mission through your prayers, through your caring, through your interests, through your financial giving over these many, many years. And as well, if there is anybody who wants to speak with us afterwards or get a contact number too to talk to more about missions in your life, we would really love to talk with you as well. You know, it's so great how God just created us each so differently, right? And knows exactly how to call us and bring us into what he has for us. And so that we are just thankful that he is the way maker. He is the miracle maker, right? He is the promise keeper in our lives. So today we want to invite you to be in the book of Philippians. And the sermon title that we have put for this day is Letting Our Journey with Jesus Christ Transform Us. And as we share from our lives of journey and how the Lord has transformed and continues to do so, we just ask you and encourage you to look at your life and how the Lord is moving and just continuing to show you all that he is and all that he continues to give to you, allowing yourselves to see and to embrace that love that he is in your life and the way that he cares and takes care of you, and so that we as people can be doing that with others, right? When we have that receiving from the Lord, we can give that out to others. And so we can be all that he has called us to be as we administrate well the world that he has given us to take care of and to love and to share about Jesus. This is very good news when we are living in such a way that we are transformed by God's love and by his grace. As we see in the Apostle Paul's writings and now in his letter of joy, encouragement to the people of Philippi and to all of us today. So we're going to be mainly in the first two chapters of Philippians, highlighting Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And for us, as we enter into this time, we paraphrase from chapter 1, 9 through 11 from Philippians. I can read it aloud, and you may see it on the screen. Abba Padre, may our love abound and increase in true knowledge and all discernment, so that we together may choose what is excellent, being pure and blameless until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of blessed living, which comes from Jesus Christ, finding the Christ between us, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
So not all the time, but this time when Paul is writing to the Philippians, he says at the verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Often Paul says that he's an apostle of Christ Jesus, but here he points out and he emphasizes that he's a servant. Now often people believe, and there's an expectation possibly, that missionaries, serve globally personnel, go to other countries as apostles, as people with an agenda, as people who are going to give, as people who are going to impose. And that's history. That's a tradition that's gone on there. But we, when we went to Colombia, we actually took a course called Learning to Leave and Leaving to Learn. And so when we went into Colombia, our emphasis was on what we were going to learn and how it is that we could be learners in another country. And we were trying to encourage how to discover how we have all been empowered and entrusted to find the Christ between us, and how we were charged to walk alongside of one another. Now, we're going to talk about relationships today, and as you enter into your care, I got it here somewhere, called to care series, you can't care if you don't have a relationship. Is possibly where we come from. You have to have a relationship. And we're talking about something that all of us are in, and that's in relationships. Now, we were in Colombia. We had hundreds of relationships with Colombians, but also we worked with fellow missionaries. We worked with fellow missionaries from Norway. We don't have anything against Norway, but we worked with over 100 different personnel from Norway in our 35 years. We worked with many teams that came to visit us. We worked with over 85 mission teams that came. We worked with many churches. We worked with Covenant World Relief and Development and Friends of World Mission and the larger ECC family. And we were there to help facilitate relationship, because without that relationship, none of that ministry would have happened. And so we want these experiences invited us into to be intimate and honest and vulnerable as we cultivated a connecting presence with one another. And we want to show you some of two slides, one of Andres. Andres is the first Colombian I met in Colombia on the first day that we were there in 1990. Andres came over to our house, and I needed to exchange some money, some dollars for Colombian pesos. Now, I thought I was talking to Andres in Spanish, and I know he was talking to me in Spanish. But as we encountered and as we negotiated that, Andres, I know I heard him say something that maybe you don't hear when you talk our little basic Spanish, you know, como está, all that stuff. Andres said to me, Gary, a la orden. Gary, I'm here to serve you. And Andres served me for all of my time there. Andres was a pastor, he was a lawyer, and he served me. But that service started in the first time we began forming a relationship. And that message of a la orden, at your service, is something we heard in every store we went into, every person that we met was always at your service. I'm here. How can I help you? How can I serve you?
I want to talk about two of my very first Colombian girlfriends, Alciera, a Spanish tutor, and Gloria, a friend from the church that we were involved in Bogota. They both really helped me to learn what it meant to serve in a different culture and to be patient with myself when learning and adapting. And Alciera was an excellent Spanish tutor, and when I felt stuck, she helped keep me moving, telling my brain is learning even though I may not sense it at that time. We became close friends. And with her husband, Jorge, the four of us there, we are still good friends and can pray and connect together even being in different places. And then Gloria is my other good friend, and to this day as well. And she was our children's first Sunday school teacher. And it was the Lord's Spirit that drew us together to go early to her home, me, to study the Word with her in a discipleship relationship that was very mutual. And I was able to go with her to the preschool where she was director and do a lot of things for the children, dramas and little stories as my Spanish began to develop little by little. And so, yes, we had very caring people in our lives in those first years and really all throughout our time. And so we are so thankful for Andres and for Alciera, for Gloria, for Jorge. And we thank God for the many, many other people that have been walk alongside us with us. They've impacted our lives with their love, with their interests, with their care. And I'm sure you have many people that have impacted your lives over the years as well, right? So we praise the Lord for his goodness in giving us good friends.
Paul goes on then in verse 6 of chapter 1, and he says, we are convinced of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you and in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We're convinced that God has something good going on in all of his creation, in you, in us, in those that we meet. And it's a point of view. It's a mindset. Remember, we're talking about in our relationships, have the mindset of Christ Jesus. And we believe that Jesus had that mindset. He was there to help people discover the good that God had created them with. But that's a mindset that maybe it's a challenge for us to see the good in others, to see what God might be doing in the life or in the person in front of us, or the one that we are having a relationship with.
And so God definitely has something very good going in the lives of all of us, right? And what is that? For me, that is to be who He created me to be, who He created you to be. To be living out the identity that we have in Christ Jesus. In Genesis 1 and 2, we know how we were created in His image and His likeness. To be in relationship, a loving, intimate, personal relationship with Him. He created we human beings with the same value and dignity, and He charged us with His good authority and His good leadership so that we could govern well His world, so that we, all people, not just some, all people could flourish. God is love. He is shalom, meaning that all-encompassing word for peace. He is always working in us, through us, to be one with Him, to be one with ourselves, to be one with others, and to be one in this world. Why? So that we can be reconciled with Him, reconciled with ourselves, and be living out forever in others, be reconciled with others, and to also live out His kingdom values of love and peace and justice. So letting our journey, our journeys in Christ, transform us. Gary and I hoped and prayed, and we were intentional in trying to form healthy and positive relationships in Colombia, which are so central to God as mission because of Him being love, and because He is relational, and because He always invites every single one of us to share who He is with others and to do our part in mending things that are broken and hurting in this world, right? We are called to participate. And so when I do that in that way, I feel like I am embracing my spiritual heritage, child of God, with the authority, the position that He has given me as a new creation that He gives to each of us. And I am walking in my identity. But when I am not doing that, I am not really the best version of myself, right? Have any of you ever not been the best version of yourself? You know? And so Gary and I have this thing that when I am not, he can say to me, Mary Lou, you're not being the best version of yourself, okay?
I said that about five times in our marriage. But.
Well, okay, then you have to receive those words, right? And to welcome them. Those aren't always the best welcomed words that we want to hear, because we have to look at ourselves and we have to make changes. We have to let the Holy Spirit change us on our journey, right? And so that is something that we've been learning. And why? Because we as a couples and a church body, we represent Jesus Christ in powerful ways of showing His unity, powerful ways that are positive and good, the way we were created. So we want to operate in our marriage as one, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and being ready to participate with our triune God in what He has for us according to that day. So for me, journaling has been a good spiritual practice for me. I probably have written 40 journals in these years, 35 years of being in Colombia. And, you know, it's very humbling. It's very humbling to read and see some of those patterns in your life, you know, and then also to see God's movement of loving me and forgiving me and caring for me and inspiring me through His word. He has seen all parts of me, the good, the bad, and the not so good, right? And so His love, His spirit reveals that when my mind is in step, then I am doing His will. His spirit is flowing. When I'm not in step with the spirit, then my mind is not being governed by the spirit, which offers life and peace, which comes from Romans 8:6.
And so as we are talking about this, letting our journey with Jesus Christ transform us, and we're not just talking about the relationships that we had in another country, in the country of Colombia and out there. You know, we've come here to the United States, and we're going to be living in the United States. And we got to learn to relate with the United States as well. with everything going on in our country as well. And so we look normal, we look everything, but we've learned a relationship, and we want to share that with you and encourage you to take a look at that. And one aspect of that comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Now, I'm thinking about the relationships that you have, the many that there are in home, at work, at school, and transportation, in the supermarket. With who are you truly of one mind? With who could you really say you have one heart, being one in spirit, and doing nothing out of selfish conceit, but always thinking to the good of the other first? That's the mindset of Jesus Christ. And we know the challenge that is, but yet it's a challenge that we believe could be done, and we believe it can be done. And so for us, that meant a lot of times was being present and showing up. Showing up to meetings, showing up to events. I was a representative of the mission in front of the Colombian Covenant Church for 30 years. And that means I went to a lot of encounters, a lot of meetings, a lot of board meetings on a local, regional, and national level. And I wasn't always the best. You know, I spoke out of turn. I know I offended possibly, and others offended me at times just because we were getting along. And we're trying to find that one spirit, that one love, that one mind between us, because we're called to extend the kingdom of God where we were. And so in spite of our differences of opinion or position or vision, we were always called to be in relationship. And it was important for us to acknowledge that our errors and our offenses, lament and repent, forgive and reconcile. And we kept going. Now in Psalm, we read from Psalm 32, verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. That's the promise that we have with one another, and definitely with God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So whoever was named or put in position or elected, we were called to walk alongside of them and learn how to do that in another language, in another culture, in another rhythm of life. I wasn't the greatest dancer in Colombia, but I could dance. I could go. I could move at that rhythm and walk alongside. Because it continues saying in verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. And we definitely wanted to stay away from what it says in verse 9. Don't be like the horse or mule. Don't be stubborn. Oftentimes it's our stubbornness that hinders a true Christ-minded relationship with our brother or sister.
Don't you love the Lord's word that is always instructing us with his eye upon us, his loving eye? And so if we are allowing that to speak and to transform us and change our way of thinking and old patterns and let go of things, we can keep giving out the great message. We are being great representatives as his image bearers, right, of who Jesus Christ is, Lord and Savior, who offers us eternal life, in him as he invites us to live out this every single day, here and forever, in the ways we relate, the ways we care, the way we talk, the ways we look and the ways we act. So in some of our mentoring times, we were in the second chapter, these beautiful verses 5 through 11, Philippians 2, 5 through 11, having that same mindset, okay? And then we did some exercises or some activities that just helped to introduce this more. And it was a beautiful time of sharing different things that the Lord was bringing up among the leadership and the pastors of Colombia. And then one pastor said, well, I feel like the Lord is saying, to what point are we us at that time? Are we willing to humbly surrender, to not grasp or cling to, so we can give up our attitudes, our positions, postures, and actions that do more harm to others than do good? For when we do that, we are imitating Jesus Christ. That question was impacting for us as a leadership, as pastors in Colombia, as we traveled around and we were talking about this passage and sharing and hearing from them. God is always our example. Jesus, instead of grasping, claiming, demanding to be recognized as being the nature of God or the very form of God, he relinquished that in order to take on the nature of a servant, to do his Father's will. To do his Father's will. That is having the mindset of Christ, and that is the example for us.
We believe this is something that should be taken seriously by any individual, any group, any community, or any church, that in the relationships that we have with each other and with the world, we should have the mindset of Christ. And maybe the best way to envision this comes from a slide of a baptistry that it's in the Negev region of Israel. And it shows the baptistry in the shape of a cross. It'll show up here soon. And this baptistry can, for us, maybe an image of when Jesus is shown, and when Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus humbled himself, took on the form of man, and then went to the cross, even death on a cross. Now, many of us have been baptized. And in that baptism, we are identifying with Jesus Christ. And here's a baptistry from the 3rd or 4th, 5th century. And it shows people going down into the cross, identifying, taking on that identity. And there's steps down into this baptistry. Which of the steps going into that baptistry are we relating to others from? Or maybe we're not even going down into that baptistry. Because if we are taking on the mindset of Christ, we need to go all the way down those 3-4 steps and identify with Jesus Christ, who is willing to give up his place at the right hand of God on a throne, where we believe that to be. But he went down and was with the people. He humbled himself. And he showed us that you can take on the cares of others. You can be of one mind. You can be of one love. You can be of one spirit. And he showed us how to live out what was he says in John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Love is a commitment to the other's complete fulfillment in the kingdom of God. It's a willingness to do, to make a personal commitment, so that the other can be all that God has created them to be, even if it means sacrificing something, giving up something of ourself, so that God can realize his fullness in others.
So Jesus' life, his death and resurrection, is our example always, as he modeled for us how we too can participate in the love that gives and receives. Is self-emptying, self-giving, sacrificial love as we live, move, and have our being in him, as we read from Acts 17:8-28. So living into our identity in Christ includes those victorious times, those very hallelujah times, and it also includes those very difficult times, right? Those times of loss and pain. This continual pattern from life to death, to being renewed. In other words, from this beautiful hymn that was sung in the early church from Philippians 2, 5 through 11, we see this. We're brought to life. Jesus modeled this on the cross. It is our participation. New Testament scholar Klein Snodgrass, in his book entitled You Need a Better Gospel, Reclaiming the News of Participation with Christ, writes these words: his death is our death, his life is our death. sorry, his life is our life, his death is our death, and his resurrection is our resurrection. Wow. Personally, I am so grateful and humble to God for all that I have learned from him through his word, from many Christians, brothers and sisters, at what it means to live in Christ, to die to my false self, die to those fears, to those times that I feel I'm not capable enough of doing what the Lord is asking or somebody is asking me to do. I need to also die many times, give up, surrender to, submit to, wanting to control. We want to control a lot of things. I am still very much in progress, and I thank God, again, that his loving eye is on me as he leads and directs, right? So may we, as a congregation, may the body of Christ continue to be people who submit ourselves to Christ in our journeys and be transformed from the inside out.
Now, Paul believes that the test for all of this is in the plaza. It's in the market square. It's out in the world, because that is where we are called to be in relationship with the mindset of Christ. And he points that out in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 2. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Oftentimes we think of salvation as an individual act, which begins there, but that individual act of salvation is also lived out in community. The Covenant of Colombia, we learned that I'd say 95% of the churches are remodeled homes in neighborhoods, and so they reach out beyond their walls to the community, and they know the needs, and they see the needs because they are part of that need in that community, in that neighborhood, and they are able to reach out there. Luis Barrientos is the current president of the Covenant of Colombia. 8 years ago, he wanted to be the president. He thought, this is what God wants for my life. And so as he and I were praying about that, I said, Luis, what are you hearing? And he said, well, I'm actually envisioning the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God over there. They're in deep consultation. And I said, can you hear? What? No, he says, they're not talking very loud. So we kept praying, and soon he said, here they come. And as they came over to him, I said, what are they saying? He said, well, they said, Luis, we promised to be with you, we'll be with you. But if you ask us, we would say, wait. We still want to work with your will, and we want to work with the actions that will need to be taken. And so Luis didn't run for president 8 years ago, but 4 years ago, he said, you know, it was election time, we were talking, he said, yeah, I don't know if I really want to do that presidency. So I said, well, let's pray again. And so we were praying, and you know, surprisingly maybe, but the same Trinity was right there listening to our prayers. And soon they came over and they said, Luis, now is your time. Now we think you are ready. You're willing to follow and act as you should. In the last 4 years, the Covenant of Colombia has made some difficult decisions on going forward, on how to form community. And right now, they're coming up on another election in a month. And it's the same challenge, how to relate with each other as churches, as a body, with the mindset of Christ Jesus.
So letting our journeys with Jesus Christ transform us does and can happen when we are open to whatever and however the Holy Spirit is moving and transforming us to do his will, so that we can imitate his love, his submission, his humbleness, his obedience that we saw, that we read, and that we may see again in these verses. And so we do that when we are walking close with him, when we are bowing our knees, surrendering our will, and our tongues confess, and our words are declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is hope. There is a rising up. There is something that is going on in our lives. And Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, as we are learning and walking and doing the Father's will.
And so, as we've talked about relationships, and possibly you've thought about a few relationships that you might be in, and you're saying, with that person, I just can't take that mindset of Christ on. I just can't do it. But maybe you need to be reminded, or we would like to remind you of the verse that I cited in the consecration service in 1990 from Philippians 4:13. And Jesus says to us, Paul says that, you know, whatever we're asked to do, whatever God calls us to do, whatever He moves us, inspires us to do, He says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. You're starting a series on Called to Care, and you're going to be challenged in the different ways that we are to care for our world, to relate to our world. It can be done, all that we're asked, because of Christ who gives us the strength. Let us pray. Father God, in our lives of relationships that we are in, here in this sanctuary, as we move out the doors and go into the public square and the plaza, relationships at home, at work, in our home, in our livelihood, may we truly, truly have that mindset of Christ, the way that Jesus perceived others, the way He reached out to others, the way He served others. Because He didn't come to be served, He came to serve. We thank You for the relationship and partnership that we have had with Bloomington Covenant for all of these 35 years. We thank You for that opportunity to relate to one another and to celebrate that relationship this morning. Bless Bloomington Covenant in their relationship, in this neighborhood, in this community, in this world where they live, each and every one. Amen.
At this time, I invite you to stand as you're able, in mind, body, and spirit, as we close our service, proclaiming the greatness of our God, not just a God here in Bloomington, Minnesota, but a God
to Mary Lou used this beautiful phrase about being walk alongside our. Walk alongside us. I'm sure it's different in Spanish, I'm sure. But we get to be called to care for our world by walking alongside.